this day that you have made delights to give you praise, and so do I. So as the sunlight meets open fields and city streets, my song will rise. So wake me up.
Hello there, this is Braden and Tally, again with the voice of my beloved podcast, and we're really excited today. We're going to be looking into Psalm 115, and you know, just hearing this song that just played. That song, Braden and I recorded in our betrothal season while we were kind of getting ready for our wedding, and it's really cute, kind of listening to our voices have kind of changed a little bit since then, but it's really fun. It brings back some nice memories. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about some things that we've walked through as a couple, and as we go through this psalm. And it's good to look back and see God's goodness. So we're going to dig into Psalm 115 today. It's really, it's a neat psalm. You want to just start out, Braden?
Yes. Hi, everyone. So yes, jumping into Psalm 115, we're going to be taking the first half of this psalm. It's a longer Hallel psalm, so we'll be covering the next half in the next podcast. So opening up with the first verse here, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory." One of the first things we notice about this verse is it repeats, "not unto us." It's a doubly made statement here. God, not to us, but to your name give glory. And considering the Last Supper, where Yeshua is singing this psalm, it's amazing that then just a few hours later, he's kind of rewording this statement. He says in Luke 22:42, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." So here we see Yeshua, he's wanting the glory of the Father. It's his first concern. God, glorify your name. He wants to do the will of the Father, no matter what it cost him. One of the things also in the first verse, we see it's a plural psalm. It begins and ends in the plural. So in the first verse, it's "not unto us." And then the last verse is, looking at it, "but we will bless the Lord." So, "not unto us," beginning, and then "we will bless the Lord." So it's meant to be sung as a community. This is a community song. I think it's one of the only psalms in the whole Bible that actually begins and ends in the plural.
Yeah, like the whole thing, it just is the same, that person.
Yes. So we also, just reemphasizing the humility of Yeshua, it's interesting, he says in his ministry in Matthew 11, he actually says, "Come unto me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." And so it's powerful that he actually specifies when he's calling his disciples, as he's calling you and I, he says, "Come unto me, I want to teach you something about myself, and that's my humility." And so in this psalm, we see a very humble approach to God, "not to us, but to your name give glory." And so as we follow Yeshua, he is a awesome example to us of what it means to be humble. And so learn of him, how he's meek and lowly in heart, and then you'll find rest for your souls. So there's something about the humility of Yeshua, something about the walk that he demonstrated, that actually helps us to find rest for our souls and our spiritual walk with God. And so there's something really for each of us to take from his example, because there's a lot of wondering, okay, what defines humility? How do I be humble? Well, I believe one of the greatest ways we can learn humility is to study the life of Yeshua, because he basically defines humility. He says, "I am meek and lowly in heart." So he is our ultimate example of what humility is. We know also that he is the prophet like Moses, according to the Torah. And so Moses, we also know, it says in the Torah that he was the meekest man on the earth, right? And so we can also see an example in Moses of what humility is. You know, sometimes it's hard to get a really concrete answer of what a value is, humility, love, whatever it might be, without an actual person to point to. But it's helpful in the scriptures when we have someone that personifies, in a way, a character trait. We can look at them and say, okay, that's what humility is. And when I think of Moses and Yeshua, I think of two men that are willing to lay down their lives for others. Mm-hmm. And we see Moses, he's saying, you know, God, blot my name out of your book, please, but please have mercy on this people. Mm-hmm. And we see Yeshua, he's willing to take on the pains and the sufferings of others for their benefit. Mm-hmm. So I think that really encapsulates what true humility is. It's when our lives are about others. I think of the founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth. He said on his deathbed, if you could say, you know, just in a few phrases, you know, what is the defining trait of your life? And he said, others. He just said one word, others. He had invested his whole life in others. And so I believe that's a really strong identity character trait of humility. It's when we are focusing on others benefit.
Yeah. And, you know, the other interesting thing about humility, you know, Moses being pointed out as being humble, he was also exalted, right? Mm-hmm. And so it has nothing to do maybe with, you know, mm-hmm. that they're just lowly and stuff, but he's exalted and Yeshua is exalted, you know? But in that place of exaltation, being able to, that intercession thing too, mm-hmm. you know, it's like Yeshua, he's not exalted and he's left, you know, anyone behind. Like you said, he's always reaching out and pulling up, right? Mm-hmm. And we see Moses doing the same thing. I think that was last week's Torah portion mm-hmm. where Moses, you know, God was going to take out his wrath on all of the people of Israel, you know, but because Moses was a humble leader, he wasn't saying, yeah, go get them. They're not doing the right thing, you know, but instead he was interceding. And like you said, that was his others. Well, he was like, if it means taking me out, so be it, you know, take me out as long as you don't leave these people behind, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just such a beautiful picture of humility that even in that place where it's like all of Israel was looking to Moses, you know, mm-hmm. His face is shining, you know, and still he's in this humble place of interceding on behalf of the people. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. may we always be those that intercede, right? When we mm-hmm. see, when we see there being disconnects and, you know, and falling away, that we intercede like Moses did for.
Yes. Yeah. So next part here, so ties into the previous section. So, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. And so it pairs together these things we see often paired in the Bible, mercy and truth. And let's look at a few scriptures. One is Psalm 85. It says that mercy and truth have met together. And so in God, we find this beautiful meeting together of mercy and truth. And as we seek to emulate him, as we seek to follow in his footsteps, we also are going to see mercy and truth come together. And this is something for Tally and I, in the 10 years that we've been married, we found that we've been able to influence each other with these character traits, because Tally is naturally a mercy person and I'm naturally more of a truth emphasizing person. And so over the 10 years, we've helped each other to grow.
And 10 years ago, I think we were on pretty extreme opposite sides of the spectrum in some ways. And so I want you to say the rest of that verse mm-hmm. because it talks about mercy and truth coming together. And then what's the next part?
Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Oh, and so I think that's really neat because, you know, it's kind of like when mercy and truth meet together, then this, it's where righteousness and peace is like the fruit of that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I like that, the whole picture of kissing each other because, you know, Brain and I, that's how we got through a lot of our meeting together, right? No, it's been a really good journey, and I think both of us have learned a lot on how to balance that out and mm-hmm. how to walk in both, because we want both. And I think God in his, you know, greatness is perfectly balanced in all of that, but he's given different giftings to each member of the body, mm-hmm. right? And so there's all these different giftings in each part. And when all those different giftings can meet together and balance each other out is where you're going to find righteousness and peace, right?
Yes.
And that's like a fully functioning body, and mm-hmm. that works really good together. So, mm-hmm. so praise God, may it be that the body of Messiah is able to function and come together, you know, and meet together and see that flourish.
Yes. So a few more scriptures on that theme. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. It's Proverbs 3:3. So this is something we're supposed to keep mercy and truth. It says to bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So God's truth and his mercy is supposed to be right there in our hearts. Proverbs 16:6, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And so we see Yeshua is really, it was in his mercy that he atoned for our iniquity, but also in the truth of God's word. He atones for our iniquity. And then Psalm 25:10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. So all of his paths, as we walk in his paths, they're going to be paths of mercy and truth. And then Psalm 101, I will sing of mercy and justice. And I think of justice as being kind of a synonym in some ways of truth. Mm-hmm. And here David, he says, I will sing of mercy and justice. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, if we look at our songs that we sing, many of them are about God's mercy. And that is a beautiful thing to sing about. But David here, he says, I will sing of mercy and justice. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like in some places that this song of justice can be easily forgotten. We tend to just emphasize the mercy, but not the justice and truth. And so I believe there should be a real call in our nation here in America to call out, to sing the song of justice as well. Because mm-hmm. when you just sing one song, things get imbalanced. You have a culture that accepts the murdering of unborn children and all the horrific things that are going on in our country because people are afraid to sing the song of justice. Mm-hmm. And so we need more songs about the justice of God and to really see that restored in our nation. Mm-hmm. And then we see in Matthew 23:23, along the same lines, Yeshua, he spells out what are the weightier matters of the law. He says justice, mercy, and faith. So these are things that are weighty matters. These are very important matters in the heart of God, mercy and justice, and faith. Mm-hmm. Moving along to verse 2, why should the nations say, so where is their God? So psalmist here seems to be in a tough spot and wanting to see God break through. So it's saying, why should the nations say, so where is their God? Why should they even have a reason to say that? And we see almost verbatim in Joel 2:17, this is a beautiful passage, an intercession passage. It says, let the priest who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? So here the priests, they're crying out for God to break through on behalf of the people, to spare the people, because they're also concerned about God's reputation or his glory among the nations. And then in response to this prayer, in verse 18, it says, then the Lord will be zealous for his land. So he responds to this intercession mm-hmm. for his namesake. You know, to your name be glory. We want to see you glorified, Father. Why should the nations be talking about how you're not powerful enough to deliver your people? Mm-hmm. God breaks through. He almost gets aroused by these type of prayers. He breaks mm-hmm. through. He's zealous for his land. Mm-hmm.
And it almost takes an amount of confidence to even be able to say that, right? Mm. Like a certain amount of faith needs to be built up in you to almost call God to say, you know, come, you know, act on behalf of your people, act on behalf of your word. You know, there's a confidence in that. And I think that's something that he's called us to, mm-hmm. a confidence in his word, that he will fulfill his word. We don't have to like be scared of calling him out on what he said, mm-hmm. right? That's what he wants us to do. Mm-hmm. He wants us to hold him to his word mm-hmm. and say, I believe that you meant this when you say this. Mm-hmm. And I believe that you are going to show yourself powerful, you know? And so may our faith, you know, rise up as we call out on the name of the Lord, that we wouldn't be scared mm-hmm. to call it out, to call and to look at these passages and say, God, make this come to pass. We know that you will, and we want to call it forth.
Yeah, wrestling. There's almost a wrestling mm-hmm. sense. God, for your name's sake, we want to see you glorified. Yeah. So please come through on your word. Mm-hmm. We You see, Moses also in the Torah, he says, I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them. He's speaking of the people of Israel. He just gets frustrated. He's like, I'm going to strike them, disinherit them. And he says, I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they, speaking of Moses. But then Moses, he pleads with God. He says, but then the Egyptians will hear it. He's concerned about what gets back to the Egyptians. And he says, they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. And so he's pleading, here again we see Moses, he's pleading with God to, for his namesake, to redeem his people, to have mercy on his people. And he's concerned about the testimony that goes out in the nations. And I can imagine Yeshua, he's also, you know, the intercessor, the great intercessor. And I can just imagine him praying right now, God, please let your people bring glory to you today. Why should the nations have a reason to bring you dishonor because of your people falling away or your people, you know, dishonoring you? You know, God, please call them forth, call them out, bring them to a good place. I can just imagine his intercessions going up even now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to talk for just a second about intercession because I know Braden grew up with a really strong pull to intercession. And for me, it's been more of a learned thing as I've kind of, as I've grown up and grown in the Lord and stuff. But I know with intercession, something that's been really neat for me is, which I think Braden kind of inspired me in this way, but agreeing with the scriptures is intercession pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you're looking at scripture, when you're going through the word, you can declare it, you can engage in the word of God and use that as your, what's it called? As your template mm-hmm. for intercession, right? Mm-hmm. If you're like, how do I intercede? How do I intercede for Israel? Well, just open up a scripture about Israel, right? And start calling God to what he says in his word, right? Start agreeing with the voice of the word of God that's spoken in the scriptures. You know, it's all laid out there.
Yeah, right. Daniel is one of the most powerful examples of that. He reads in the book of Jeremiah that here the time for the exile is up. 70 years has passed, according to Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't just wait for it to happen. He didn't just sit back and go, okay, well, it says it, so let's just wait for it to happen. He actually engages. Mm-hmm. He begins to cry out to God for him to enact his word. Mm-hmm. And so for us today, that's a call for all of us in prayer to come into agreement with God's word. There's things that he wants to do in the earth and to begin to pray into that and see him do the mighty things that he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not just sit back and watch it, right?
Right.
But actually engage, agree with God in it.
Right. So the next section here is just a whole string of denouncements against idolatry. So in verse 3, we're going to sing this little section here from the psalm, the song that we put to Psalm 115. Goes, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. All right, so just looking at the section here about idolatry, the last verse there is really the punchline. Those who make them are like them. So those who worship idols take on their characteristics. Dumbness, deafness, these different things, lameness. This idol is a representation of what people will become when they worship the idol. So for us, the application should be, what are we worshiping? What are we putting first in our lives? We are going to end up reflecting that image that we're looking to. And we see an example of this in 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So as is true with the idol, as you look to this idol, you're going to become like it. And then as you look to God, as you look to the Lord, you're going to be conformed into his image. And so this is the call for us. What are we beholding? What are we setting our eyes on? This is the image that we're going to be conformed into. And so I know in my own life, I was around 11 years old, and computer games really had a hold on my heart. I just thought about them all the time. I couldn't wait till I got to play them. Mom and Dad had set a limit for me, like I think a half hour a day to play computer games. And I just could not wait every day to get to that computer game. And I can remember distinctly one of the first examples of ever hearing the voice of God, just that whisper, but very clear, very distinct whisper of God in my heart. I can remember it was the first time my family had ever kept the festival of Hanukkah. And we were sitting around the table, and I heard this voice behind me say, "Stop playing computer games." I knew it was not a person. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And it was so clear that it really startled me. I remember just looking around and go, "What was that?" And just an example of how God is very jealous. He doesn't like anything coming before him. And so in this instance, he was putting his finger on something that was really distracting me, was really taking my attention off what was important. Mm-hmm. And so I just knew I had to drop it. It was tough because I really loved him. But looking back, I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit and the faithfulness of God to identify things in my life that were displeasing to him, mm-hmm. that were becoming an idol. Because the computer game, you know, I don't want to become it the image of what that computer game was presenting. It was presenting something that, you know, I don't want to be just consumed with that. But we are called to be consumed with the glory of God, mm-hmm. and be conformed into that image.
Yeah. I also want to mention something else, because this ties back to the importance of intercession. And I just want to give a shout out to my mother-in-law here, because I know that things like that happened in Braden's life due to Sherry and Braden's parents standing in the gap. I'm sorry. I'm crying right now. I'm okay, but I'm just so thankful for them that they, Sherry interceded just like Moses did and fought for her son, to be in freedom and to be, you know, be conformed to Yeshua. And I think that that is the fruit of intercession. And what a beautiful, you know, story of just how intercession works, you know, and how you stand in the gap and then you see freedom. And so it's really...
Yeah, and just adding to that, had my parents had, you know, said, "Braden, we want you to stop playing computer games now," you know, could have been flared up in rebellion, but mm-hmm. I knew it was the voice of God. Sometimes mm-hmm. when we let God do the work, when we pray for a situation
yeah.
and allow God to do the speaking, he can do 100 times more effective job than we ever could.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that parents, you know, don't need to step in at times and make standards. That's very needed.
Yeah.
But intercession is so key to that.
Yeah.
As we pray for our children, as we pray for our relationships, that God will step in and do what only he can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I also just wanted to touch quick on, you know, people being idols in our lives. Cause I know it's something that it's such a touchy way, because it's such a tough, touchy subject, because God has called us to look up to people, you know, and to walk arm in arm with people and to affect each other and to love each other. You know, it's the second commandment. It's the second most important, right? To love our neighbor as ourselves and stuff. And so it's so important, but I know that it's a place where sometimes you can put a person in a place of idolatry. And I'm even thinking of, you know, the referring back to the beginning of this song where it says, not into us, but to you, and how even we ourselves can be idols in our own lives, right? And we can think, I'm in control of my life. I can decide how things are going to go or whatever. And that's, it's such a lie, right? And that's where we're going to be really caught in a bad place. But even on top of that, you know, the relationships around us, the ministries that we are a part of, the people that are encouraging around us, to be able to always check within yourself that you're not fearing these people or these ministries more than you're fearing God, you know. And I was just thinking of the we were just singing a song a little bit ago, how the song that says, "I'm the true vine," or the it's I'm we were vine, singing this. Yeah, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit." And so, I think that sometimes we can attach ourselves to things. And we think that we're only going to bear fruit if we're attached to those things, kind of a thing. And I think that's where we can really check in our hearts. You know, is my bearing fruit dependent on whatever it is, that, you know, this teacher or this organization or this whatever, you know, or am I a vine or am I attached to the vine that is Yeshua? You know, am I a branch attached to the vine that is Yeshua? And it's in him that I'm going to bear fruit. Not that any of those things are bad, but to be able to be honest with ourselves and realize, where is my heart right now? Have I set something up? Have I set a person up or a thing up in my life that is taking that place of the vine, of the true vine, where we're going to bear fruit?
Mm-hmm. So important. It's coming back to that place of intimacy with him and abiding in him, which is the purpose of this podcast. We want to encourage those that are listening to always come back to that place of getting your life filled with that sap that comes from him, that new life. There's new life in him every day. Mm-hmm. And may you hear his voice today and know his strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you want to give a call to something, Brayden? Just press in to...
Yes, so just call all of you to pursue God in what you're watching. You know, are you watching things? It could be television, could be whatever it is, but what are you putting before your eyes that could be an idol, that knowing that you're going to be conformed to this image, whatever it is that's grabbing your heart, that's really just, you know, what you can't wait to do. You know, there's a right place to, you know, to do some fun things, but there's also a place where things can grip our hearts, and we know it. We know it when there's an idolatry place in our lives that needs to be checked. We need to check our hearts and really have God be that place that we're looking to him. So be conformed to him as his image, worship him, look upon his glorious splendor, and you will be so blessed.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. Well, if you were blessed by this, if you were blessed by this and want to share it, I encourage you to do so in whatever way you see, whichever way you see fit. And I think we're going to sign off and we'll be back next time. So this is Brayden and Tally reminding you to listen to the voice of your beloved. There is freedom in his voice, and you were meant to be free. To trust and believe.